I want to thank God for this another opportunity which has given us to be to appear before His presence. I have a topic which it's a form of a question. It's in the form of a question. Can you turn with me in 1 Samuel chapter 17? We are going to read from verse 20. Let's start from verse 24.
Mm-hmm. 1 Samuel 17, verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?"
Can you repeat verse 29?
And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?"
You can stop that. The question that my topic it says, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? That's not my topic. Is there not a cause? The children of Israel we saw the king during that time. They had their enemies and they were supposed to go and fight them. Then King Saul and his army, they went into the battle. Now when they went into the battle, Jesse, the father of David, sent him, called him and told him that, "Please go and check on your brothers. How are they doing? Are they doing well? Then bring back a report." Then just David took the food and everything. When he reached there, they had gone for the battle. Then he left all the things which was given to him by his father into the hand of the keeper. Because he had to take the report, that's why he had to go down to find out, to check on their brothers, on the brothers. Now when he reached there, then this man Goliath stood up. Now when he stood up, all the men of Israel, the army of Israel, they decided to run away from him. And they start saying, "You see this man who has come out?" Then David, he went on asking, "The man who will kill him, what shall be done to him?" Then they told him all the promises which the king has made. Now, when they were discussing about that, then one of his brother, he came and had rebuked him. And told him, "Because of your pride, that's why you're here. You came to see the battle." Then David answered, "What have I done? Is there not a cause?" David realized that his being there was a cause. Now I have a question of each and everyone here. Is there not a cause for your living? You understand my question? Is there not a cause for your living? Or let me put it this way. Why are you living? Why are you not dead? You understand? Why are you not dead? Why are you living? In 2012, we had people who did not manage to enter in 2013. They died. And since we entered into this year, a lot of people there, they have died. Why are you not among those who are dead? Are you hurry than those who are dead? That's the reason why you are living? Okay, maybe you bribed God so that you can live. Those who passed away, they didn't have money to bribe God. You had enough money to bribe him, then you bribed him. You did that? Because you are so smart than those who are dead, that's why you are living? Why are you living? Why are you living? That's the question. Some people, they live and they take it for granted that they have to live. We should not take it for granted. Ask yourself why God protects you. We have a lot of people in hospital. Why are you not among them? We have some who are in prison. Why are you not among them? Is there not a cause for your living? Ask yourself. You go back home and think and ask yourself that question. Why are you living? Why are you not dead? Why God is still protecting? I don't think that you are protecting yourself. There's somebody who protects you. But why are you living? You're not dead. Why are you having all the parts of your body? And other people, they don't have legs. Some of them, they don't have hands. Some of them, they don't have eyes. Why are you having all the parts of your bodies? Your body. Why are you living? Another question. Is not there a cause why you have the house which you are living in? There's not any cause why you have that house. Ask yourself. Do you believe that people who are homeless, do you know that? Do you know that? Why are you not among them? Don't you know that some people are homeless? They don't have anywhere to stay. But why do you have that, either it is small or big, but why do you have that house? For you just to sleep in? Or don't you think that there's a cause why God has allowed you to have that house? I remember I was in Maryland. As we were driving with pastors, almost three streets, most of the houses, they were empty. Then I asked the pastor, why most of the houses are empty here? Then he told me that people, they lost their houses. They couldn't pay. Then I asked him, where are they? He told me they're on the streets. Why are you able to pay all the bills of that house which you're living in? Maybe you are complaining, you don't have a small house. It's not, yeah, but there's somebody who admires you because you have that small house. He does not have even one. Sometimes when you are driving, you see a beautiful house and say, I wish I could live into that. There's somebody who does not have even the one which you have. But why are you having it? Why do you have it? Is there not a cause for you to have it? Okay. You work very hard. That's why you have that house. Those people who are lost, who lost their houses, they were lazy. And that's why they lost the house. Do you believe that? Some people who lost their houses, some of them, maybe they were harder worker than you, but they lost the house. Why you? Remember the Bible says in Psalms chapter 23 that God owns, chapter 24, that God owns everything. Now that means even the house which you have, he owns it. Now the one who owns the houses, he's the one who decided you to have your house and other people to lose it. Why he allowed you to have that house? Is not there a cause? Ask yourself. Why are you living? Why do you not have that house? Is not there a cause? Can I go on? Ask yourself, why do you have those children? Either you have one or two or three, why do you have them? Don't you know that there's other people who don't have even a kid? Huh? Don't you know that? They want kid, but they don't have one. Why among those who don't have, why do you have them? And some of you have them, and there's somebody who needs them, you start calling them all different names. Stupid, look at you, dog, I wish you could die. You want them to die, there's somebody who says, at least if I can have one. You call them stupid, there's somebody who says, I wish God can give me a kid. Because I don't believe that you got those kids by because you are so smart. It was God. He's the one who gave it to you. But why? What for? You to have them and enjoy that I have children? Is not there a cause? Ask yourself, is not there a cause why you have the children? Let me go on. Is not there a cause for you to have the money which you have, although maybe it's not enough for you, but you have it? Is not there a cause for you to have the money which you have? There's other people outside there, they don't have the money which you have. They cannot even afford to put food on their table. Why are you not among them? Don't you think there's a cause why God permits you to have that money? He owns everything. He owns silver, he owns gold, he owns everything. He owns even the money which you have on your account. He owns even the money which you have in your pocket. But why do you have it? Is there not a cause when other people, they don't have it? And the one who gave it to you is the one who created them. The one who owns you, he owns them too. Is not their cause? Another question. Is not their cause for you to have the job which you have? You have a job. Is not their cause for you to have it? Don't you think there's some people who don't have the jobs? Don't you know that? In 2011, I read in a newspaper that in United States, 4 million people are jobless. That was in 2011. 4 million people are jobless. Not because they don't want to work, but there's no job. Now, if you have one, before you complain, appreciate God for that job which you have. Because there's somebody who does not have it. Before you come out of it and say, I don't want this job, they are paying me less money, let me walk away. Before you walk away out of that job, think twice, because there's somebody who does not have it. And he's saying, if I can get a chance and get that job, but you want to walk away, think twice. There is a reason, there's a cause why God has given you that job. Another question. Is there not a cause in all churches which are in Michigan, in Grand Rapids? Why do you come and fellowship here? Is there not a cause? Why do you, in all churches, why do you decide to come and fellowship here? Ask yourself. Is it because it's the best church? Is it because Apostle Harvey is the best pastor? Why? Why do you decide to leave all the other churches and come here? Is not there a cause? Why in all the pastors he is your pastor? Why? Is not there a cause? Jesus said in John that no one can come to me unless he's drawn by my Father. That means nobody can be drawn to come in this church except by God. But why God is drawing you to be in this church? Why is drawing you to be one of the ministers in this church? Don't you think that is a cause? Maybe one day, somewhere, you wanted to give up and say, I'll never go back into the church. I'll never go back into your church. The following day, you feel somebody dragging you to here. Maybe you say, I'll never come back into this church. You went and sit in your house for 1 month. The second week, the second month, you're back. Who is dragging you? Who is bringing you here? Do you think that he brings you here without a cause? There is a cause. Can I bring another question? I think you are putting them down. Is there not a cause of facing what you are facing? Sometimes we face challenges. Do you think there's not a cause of facing what we are facing? Any challenge which comes on your way, there is a cause why God has permitted it. There's a cause. We wouldn't have Exodus chapter 15 without the Red Sea. You understand? We wouldn't have Exodus 15 without the Red Sea. After Red Sea, after God separating the Red Sea, that's why we have chapter 15. It wasn't easy for those people who faced Red Sea. At the same time, even the chariots of Pharaoh was following them. It wasn't easy for them. But they had to face that challenge. They had to face that Red Sea for them to have chapter 15. All of us in our life, we must have chapter 15. Now, any challenge which you are facing, there's a cause. You live for a cause. You have the house for a cause. You have the children for a cause. You have the money which you have for a cause. You are in this church for a cause. You are not dead for a cause. You are able to pay the bills and put a food on your table for a cause. And even that Goliath, who is facing you, he is facing you for the cause. He does not face you without a cause. Any challenge, don't judge yourself, don't condemn yourself, don't beat yourself down. Any challenge, any Goliath, he faces you for a cause. You understand? Now, these children of Israel, this army with Saul, when they went for the battle, they didn't know that they are there for a cause. And they started doing what they were not supposed to do. Because they didn't know that they were there for the cause. What they decided to do, they started to do. Can you read in First Samuel chapter 17? Can you read verse? Let's start from verse 1.
First Samuel 7.
Mm-hmm. From verse 1.
First Samuel 17, mm-hmm. starting with verse 1. Mm-hmm. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, mm-hmm. and were gathered together at Shoko, mm-hmm. which belongeth to Judah, mm-hmm. and pitched between Shoko and Azekah, mm-hmm. in Ephes-Damim. Mm-hmm. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, mm-hmm. and set the battle in array against the Philistines. Mm-hmm. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, mm-hmm. and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, mm-hmm. and there was a valley between them. Mm-hmm. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, mm-hmm. named Goliath of Gath, mm-hmm. whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Mm-hmm. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, mm-hmm. and he was armed with a coat of mail, mm-hmm. and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass.
First, let me ask a question. Who was where? Who was there to tell us the height of the man and the weight of his weapon and everything? Who was there? David, huh? Who was there to put down those? Thank you. Who was there? Because they had gone for battle also. They had gone to fight. Now, instead of fighting, they are telling us the height of the man. You understand what I'm saying? Because they didn't know that they had gone there for a cause, now they are telling us the height of a man. That means there's somebody who went there just start putting down each and everything the way how he looks, that the height, you know, they had gone to do what? To do what? To fight. But now they are telling us the height. They are telling us the kilos of the weapon. They are telling us the shield, how it was. It wasn't their job. Their job was to fight. They're telling us that the man has the big head, that has the big chest, he's so tall, he has these kilos of his feet, his hand, it has 70 kilos. We didn't need to know that. That wasn't the cause why they went there. Now, anybody who does not know that he lives for the cause, anybody who does not know that he's in this church for a cause, anybody who does not know that he lives for the cause, he has a house for the cause, he's going to start doing what he's not supposed to do. That's what they went. Can you read again verse 2?
Verse 2.
Read verse 3. Mm-hmm.
Verse 3. Mm-hmm. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, mm-hmm. and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, mm-hmm. whose height was 6 cubits and a span.
Now you hear what they are doing. Go on, uh-huh.
And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, mm-hmm. and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had.
They start weighing the coat of mail and the element on the head, you know. Now, anybody who does not know the cause why he's there, he will stop doing what he's supposed to do and start doing what he's not supposed to do. He started focusing his eyes on the problems, the challenges. Then until those challenges, those problems becomes a song. Instead of doing something in the church, he'll start pointing out all the time mistakes. He's doing nothing, but he's seeing the mistakes. And the reason why, you're in that church is to put things in order. Now, the one who does not know, he will just see the mistakes, blaming this one, blaming so, blaming one and one, instead of coming up and say, okay, this is mistake, but we can put it in order. We can work on that. That may be the reason why I'm here. You understand? Because they don't know why they are living. You don't know why you are in that place. You don't know why you have a cause of living. The cause of this army to go in the battle was to fight. Then David came, who knew that I'm not here to weigh all the element and the weapon of Goliath. I'm here to fight. They were in the valley for 40 days. David came just within hours. He closed up the chapter and discharged them and told them to go back home. Just for hours. Because he knew that my reason of being here, the cause of my being here is to fight this guy. The cause of your living in the church, the cause of your living here, not being that you're not dead, there is a cause. Find out that cause and pursue it. Find it and pursue it. Now, these children of the army, they didn't know the cause. David knew the cause. Now, because he knew the cause, he dealt with the cause. He pursued the cause. He had no time of weighing the weapon and the height of the man and how he looks. He didn't have that time. The only time which he had was to fight. That's all. And he did it. Now, some of us, that because we don't know that we are living on a cause, we just waste our time. Don't waste your time. Find out the cause and pursue that cause. Find out the cause why you are in this church. First of all, believe that God brought you here for a purpose, for a cause. Then find out that cause. Fulfill, pursue that cause. He did not brought you into this church to come and sit and watch what is going on. No, no. If he wanted that, he could give you good chairs in your home and sit in your home. And maybe even this is not the good chair which you have. You have best one in the home. But why God allowed you to come here? He allows you to come here for a cause. Pursue your cause. Don't give up. Pursue your cause. Now, people who don't know their cause, they will start doing things which they are not supposed to do. Second thing, people who do not know that they're living for a cause, they will start wandering. Wandering, they will be moving in a circle. Doing the same thing and getting the same results. Because they don't know that they're living for a cause. They'll be doing one thing. Doing the same thing. Year to year. They'll be coming in a church, hearing the word, and they go and they sit. Then on following Monday, they come and hear the word, and they go and they sit. The next Sunday, they come and hear the word, and they go and they sit. They just say, hey, today Pastor Shu has preached a good message. They go back and eat their food and sleep. At the end of the year, the same results. Because they have been wandering. Doing the same thing. Hearing, they don't put into action what they have heard. Hearing God is telling them to do certain things, they don't do what God tells them to do. They get the same results. Am I making sense? This army, every morning And every evening, they used to go to the battle line. Every morning, every evening, they used to go to the battle line. But they were doing nothing there. They could appear in the morning, then they disappear. Then they appear in the evening. When Goliath comes up, they hide themselves. They did that for 40 days. Every day they were doing the same thing, getting the same results. Doing the same thing, getting the same results. They are wandering. For 40 days, they appeared on the battle 80 times, but they did nothing. 80 times. In the morning, they were there. Today we are going to finish this guy. We are going to beat him today. When the man shows up, wow, they run away. Then they say, oh, Mr. King, so in the evening we are going to teach lesson this guy. We are going to make it. So waiting for them, in the evening they are back. What happened? The man is so strong, even he couldn't stand. But tomorrow we are making it. Tomorrow we are going to do it. In the morning, they couldn't. 80 times, 40 days, in the morning and evening, doing the same thing. Now, when you are in the church and you are there for a cause, it's very important to find out the cause and to do what you are supposed to do. When you don't do what you are supposed to do, when you don't know that you are there for the cause, when you don't find that cause, you are going to wander. From Monday to Monday, from January to January, no any good results, no progress, spiritually no progress, physically no progress. In the word of God, we don't see anything which you are doing. Why? Because you are doing the same thing every day. You just come, and you hear the word, and you walk away. You come and greet one another, and you walk away. You come and take a cup of tea, coffee. After taking a cup of coffee, you walk away. But you are not doing what you are supposed to do. Then the same results every day. Now after 3 years, you are going to be confused. You start asking yourself a question, why? Why things are not changing? They are not changing because you are not pursued your cause. They are not changing because you are not done the reason why you are there. Why am I not growing? Yeah, because you have not pursued what you are supposed to do. Why am I not seeing changes? Yes, because you don't pursue your cause. You start wondering. You were living for a cause. You were in the church for a cause. You are here for a cause. Find out that cause and pursue it. David found out the cause and he pursued it. That's why everybody was praising him. They were not praising King, but they were praising David because he pursued that. Then even King, he was annoyed, he was jealous because of what David did. But it was his problem, but they didn't pursue what they were supposed to pursue. Are you pursuing your cause? People who don't know that they are living for the cause all the time, they are so good in complaining because they are in circles. They are so good in complaining. They are in circles. Wandering, doing the same thing. They complain on Monday, they complain on Tuesday, they complain on Sunday, they complain in January, in February, they are complaining. All the time they are complaining. Complaining, God hates that. And you cannot become mature. You cannot grow. You cannot become what you are supposed to become. You cannot pursue what you have to pursue when you are complaining. Those are people who are wondering. Those are people who don't know that. Those people, they are very dangerous. Such a people sometimes, let me give an example. If you have a towel or a face towel, you go and put into the cold water. Now we have such people who are wondering, they have their spiritual towel. They put it into the cold water. When somebody comes in the church, when he's on fire for God, he wants to serve God, they bring that towel and put it on him. They cool him down, or her. After cooling her, they wait for another one. When he comes, they are wondering, and they are causing even those who are coming in to wonder. They are causing those who want to serve God, to be committed, to do something for God, to pursue their cause. They cause them even to stop pursuing their cause because of what they are. They are very dangerous. They are not moving ahead, they are not growing, they are not changing, but also they stop those who are growing. They pull them down. You don't know this church. I have been in this church for 5 years. I know everything which is going on. We started that church with Apostle Harvey. We started it they can tell all the background of the church, but they have done nothing totally. First of all, in their spiritual life, even in the church, even in their growth. Wondering. That's what God told the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 14, I think. He told them that they are going to be wandering in the wilderness until all of them they will die. Because they tested God, they complained. When you read that chapter from chapter 14, Numbers chapter 14, you can read it from verse 1 down. They were so good in complaining. They complained, they murmured against God, they murmured against Moses and Aaron, and they said, no, we are going to die here in the wilderness. God brought us to die here in the wilderness. Let me tell you, God did not brought them from Egypt to kill them in the wilderness. It wasn't his cause. His cause was to take them into the promised land. Now here they are saying that God brought us to kill us here. How can you bring your people whom you love, your chosen nation, to die in the wilderness? But I told him that God brought us to kill us here. You see, we are going to die. We better look for the captain so they can go back. Now they are rebelling, they are murmuring, they are against God. Then God is okay. You will wander into the wilderness for 40 years until all of you are dead. It wasn't his plan, but because that's what they wanted. They didn't know their cause of being into the wilderness. They didn't know what they are pursuing. If you don't know what you are pursuing, you are going to wonder. I think you understand. Anybody who wants to grow and do something for God, he has to know that he is there for a cause, then he pursues your cause. Do something. When they teach you what they teach you, put it into action. Not just keep it and say, okay, I know that. I know that. What have you done? Oh, no, I know. They have been teaching us that. What have you done? I don't believe that if Jesus just came on earth and trained Peter or his disciples and they sit down and said, oh, God is good. Jesus came and trained us. Yeah, we are so good. And without doing anything that we could see what we are seeing now. We couldn't see what they could do. But because after Jesus training them for 3 years, they went and put into action what Jesus taught them. Now, because of that, we got the results. People giving their life to Christ. People being healed. That's why we have even the gospel today. Because Jesus did not come, he didn't step in the United States. Even in Africa, he didn't go there. He was in Jerusalem, Capernaum, that's the city where he used to come. I don't think that Capernaum is in our state here. But because of them whom he trained and started putting in action, doing what he taught them, that's why the gospel went everywhere. Now, in our generation, instead of doing the same thing as the 11 people, what they did, we are seated and we are so comfortable. Anybody who does not know that he's living for a cause, he's wandering all the time. You understand? Mm-hmm. What you have to know, that you live for the cause, and each and every challenge which faces you, they face you for the cause. The children of Israel, God had given them the land. Everywhere, he told them, everywhere you step, I have given it to you. But they had to face giants to possess it. Although it's for them, it's given to them by God, belongs to them, even the entire heaven knows that that land belongs to them. But they couldn't just walk and grab it. No way. They had to face Goliath. If they don't overcome Goliath, they cannot possess that land. But it is their land. It belongs to them. It was given to them by the one who owns all the land. But he says, that is your land. But they had to fight. They had to go and possess it. Now, some challenges comes just to awake you, number one, from your comfort zone. Sometimes we are so used into our comfort zone, everything is okay, you know, you don't mind, everything's smooth. Then God say, okay, you need to come out of that comfort zone. You need to do something. When you are seated in comfort zone, you cannot go to another level. You cannot grow. You cannot become a mature woman or man. Then because God wants you to become mature, he allows the comfort that Goliath to come. Now he started coming and hitting you. Yeah. God says, I'm awakening you. Hitting your head. God, what is this? God, what is that? Don't think that he does not know what's going on. He knows. But he is fed up of your comfort zone. You need to awake. You need to awake. Now, instead of blaming so-and-so, you know, I'm in this situation because so. I'm in this situation because so-and-so. I'm in this situation because of my mom and dad. I'm in this situation because of so-and-so. Stop that. Face your Goliath. Because when you start choosing other people, you will not come out of that comfort zone. And God wants you to come out of that comfort zone. Nobody will face Goliath on your behalf. You have to face him. When you run away from Goliath, you are going to run all the days of your life. We don't run away from Goliath. We don't hide ourselves from Goliath. We face him. Either in the ministry, either in our marriage, either in our personal life, either in our finances, either in anywhere. In our relationship, there is Goliath. And nobody is going to face that Goliath except you. Nobody is going to fight that Goliath except you. And God has allowed Goliath to come so that you can stand and face him. When you try to run away from it, he's going to tear down your marriage. If you have to run away from it, he's going to tear down your ministry. If you have to run away, he's going to tear down your life. You have to face him. Nobody will come and face him on your behalf. And God permits him to come. I have verses to prove what I'm saying. If it is not true, why the children of Israel, all that from the day when they came from Egypt to the promised land, why are they supposed to fight? Why? And moreover, God was with them. God has given them the land. Why they had to fight? And even the Bible says that God left some nations so that they can train the children of Israel to fight. Why? He wanted them to fight. Although he has given them the land, he wanted them to fight. Now, don't think that that happened to the children of Israel. It does not happen to us, even to us, because we have the same devil who is fighting us. Face the challenge. Don't hide your head into luggages so that you can face the challenge. Stand on your feet and face the challenge. Come out of your comfort zone. God allows challenges to come, number one, to come out of comfort zone. Number two, God allows those challenges to come so that you can go to another level. Challenges are working as a stepping stone to another level. Challenges, problems, they are stepping stone to go to another level. If you want to go higher, you need a stepping stone somewhere to stop so you can go higher. Now, those challenges are there as a stepping stone. The more you see them as a problem, the more you see them as somebody created them, you start choosing one another, then you never change. You never go to another level. But when you see them as a stepping stone, sometimes even your wife can be a stepping stone. He causes each and every problem to you, which you call a problem, so that it can shape you and have a stepping stone to go to another level. If you think that this is not God. It is God. Sometimes he allows it to shape you, to become the real you, to go to another level. Now, the more you go on choosing everybody, choosing your husband, choosing your wife, choosing your kids, you never go to another level, because you think that they're the cause of the problem. They're not the cause of the problem. These problems are there to take you to another level. There's a cause why God has permitted them to come on your way. Face them. Handle them. When you overcome them, you'll have Exodus chapter 15. God wanted Daniel to be promoted. Do you remember where he took him? Don't you remember where he took him? In the lions. Maybe it was the devil. It was God. He went into the lions. Then from the lions, he was promoted. Message, they went where? Into the fire. Do you think that God was sleeping? Do you think that God was sleeping or dozing? Do you think that God had forgotten that he has certain people somewhere? He knew everything. They tied them when he's seeing. They set up a fire when he's seeing, watching them. He could decide the rain to rain and stop the fire. He didn't do that. And after tying them, they throw them into the fire. From the fire, they were promoted. Maybe Joseph to go into the prison, maybe God was not part of it. I'm in the Bible. Do you think that God was not part of it? It was part of it. And even Joseph told his brothers, it wasn't you, it was God. You sold me, but it wasn't you. It was God. That means even Joseph being sold up to prison, it was God. At the end of the day, Joseph became the second command in Egypt. Now, don't think that those things happened on Joseph and Daniel's that cannot happen to us. It happened to us, but they are there to take us to another level. Who knows, maybe if Joseph had not gone into the prison, he wouldn't go to that position where God wanted him to be. Because he was enjoying the life where he was. He had favored before his boss. Boss loved him. He could eat the food which he wants. He could serve him all the type of food. He could serve himself all the type of food he wants. Everything was in his hand. He was the one to decide what he's giving to, what to give to his son, to his master. He was living in the better life. Then God knew that this man is so comfortable and that I don't need him here. There's somewhere where he has to go. There's a certain place ahead of him. If he sits here, he cannot reach there. Then God has to sit down and start planning and say, okay, she has to go to the prison. I will get him from the prison. When he went in the prison, that's where he came from, to the top where God wanted him. That means that Joseph was in Egypt for a cause. And even his cause was sin. Ask yourself the cause. Face those challenges because they are going to take you to another level. You understand? Another thing why God permits them to come. To prove himself that is God. Without the Red Sea, without all the miracles in Egypt, children of Israel, they wouldn't believe that there's a powerful God. But because of seeing all the miracles, because of seeing all what he did on the Red Sea, all of them, they believe that they have a big God. They believe that God is concerned about them. Now, sometimes certain situation comes, God to prove himself that he's God. How are you going to prove that he's a savior unless he saves you? How are you going to believe that he's a deliverer unless he has delivered you? But he cannot deliver you in the air. He has to deliver you from somewhere. From certain thing. He cannot prove to him. You cannot prove that God is a protector. He protects you. Unless there's something which came to hurt you and he protects you. Then you believe that, oh, my God is so good. He can protect me. Now, some people, when they see those challenges, they don't want them, and that's one of the way how we can believe that our God protects us. Even if it wasn't that, we wouldn't know that even we have God. David, because of the lion, he knew that God who delivered him from the lion is able to deliver him from this guy. He knew that. After God delivered him, he knew that he did not kill a lion on his own. But there's somebody who did that. That was God. Now, therefore, the God who delivered me from the lion, he's going to deliver me from this man, in the hands of this man. Because God proved himself that he's a deliverer. He proved himself that he can protect him. He proved himself that he can fight the battle for him. Then he had that confidence because he has ever seen it. And he knew that even God, he is the same who is going to deliver me. He told Darius, I'm coming to you in the name of the living God. You will never know that God is so powerful, he's so great, he can save you, unless there's challenges, unless there's Darius. First you are Goliath, then God is going to prove himself. Facing Goliath does not mean that God is not with you. Facing Goliath does not mean that God hates you. Facing Goliath does not mean that God has turned against you. Facing Goliath does not mean that you have done a sin or you are walking in sin or you have any mistake. No. Don't judge yourself because these problems and I think maybe this and this and this. No way, it's not. Those are supposed to be there. Go to prove him that he's God. To know that when you call upon him, he answers you. He wants you to know that he is concerned about you. In any situation, he's with you. In any area, he's with you. That's what you need to do. That's why he does that. Lastly, those challenges are there for you to have a testimony. You cannot have testimony unless you are tested. In Uganda, in the schools of Uganda, every November, as we are closing up the year, all the kids, they have to sit their examination. They are given test. So that they can sit that test. When they pass it, then they go to another class. You cannot pass it unless you are given test. When you dodge that test, you cannot say, hey, I want to go to another class. You didn't sit your test. Now, when you sit your test, you go to another class. Then you'll have even testimony telling people how God has brought you from here to here. Most people, they want to have testimony, but they're not ready to be tested. They'd want to tell people what God has done in their life when they're not willing to be tested. My friend, when you want testimony, allow to be tested. When you pass that test, then you'll have a testimony. Then you'll have something to say. When you're not ready to be tested, forget the testimony. When you're not ready to be tested, forget having something to tell people. In our life, we need to have testimony. How are we having testimony? By being tested. How are we being tested? Through challenges and problems and discouragements. Out of it, then we get testimony. Whereby we say that, oh God, you are so good. In such a year, in such a month, I passed into this and this. If it wasn't you, God, I wouldn't be where I am. But I'm here where I am. Because God did this and this and this and this, now you are testifying. You are encouraging even other people who are in the same situation. Telling them, hey, look here, God did it for me. He can do it for you. Now you have something to say. When you don't have anything to say, what are you going to tell people? You cannot give what you don't have. You understand? You cannot give what you don't have. Therefore, my sisters and brothers, face the Goliaths. Overcome him. Challenges are not on your side because God is not, he hates you. He loves you. And because he loves you, that's why he permits such challenges to come. To make you what he wants you to be. You live for a cause. You are here for a cause. You have kids for a cause. Find out your cause. Me, I know that I come in the States for a cause. There's a cause why God is bringing me here. Therefore, I have to pursue that cause. Don't just live on earth and you die when they cannot say anything about you because you did nothing. We have some people in the Bible who died and they just talk about the years which they lived. But they don't talk about what they did because they had nothing. Oh, he lived for 400 years, 500 years. The only thing which he did, he had two sons. That's the end. He lived 800 years with one son. Even the son, he became a problem to other people. But when you see people who did something for the kingdom, they can mention about the years, and they mention about what they did. Those are people who pursued their cause. When we talk about Peter, he was married, but we don't see the children. The Bible talks about what he did. Paul, Bible talks what about he did. Moses, you know that he had a wife, he had the kids, but we don't see putting everything down about his kids, but they talk about what he did. The miracles, how God used him, how he stood and did something for God. Now, don't just be there on the day when we bury you and we stand and say, okay, Mr. So and Mrs. So, yeah, they are gone. They have lived for 99 years, but what are they? And 99 years with the two kids. Where are they? Where are the kids? We don't know. They are gone. Because they didn't pursue. They are gone. But somebody who pursued a cause, even people, they will talk on what he has done. Yeah, he is a mighty man of God, is a woman, man of God. He has done this and this and this for the kingdom. Because he has pursued his cause. What do you have? What are people, are they going to talk about the day when we put you in your coffin? When you see even the Peter, John, Paul, they had something to say. They had a work which they did. That's why we are reading about it. Do you have anything? You cannot have it unless you pursue your cause. Without pursuing your cause, then don't blame anybody. You blame yourself because you have not done what you're supposed to do. God has given you all the opportunity. He has given you life. He has given you parts of your body. He has given you the house to sleep in. He has given you children. He has given you money. Now you have to pursue. If you don't pursue it, you don't blame anyone. Never blame your parents. Never blame your dad. Never blame anybody. Blame yourself that it was you. But God has given you all things to make it. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name.